Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Welcome to Fabulous Friday. It is a TGIF moment, and we are looking forward to our Shabbat Shalom tonight when the sun is setting. We're going to take our Sabbath rest. I trust you will do the same thing. May God's peace and God's joy, God's hope, God's love fill your heart today. May you have bold confidence in the days in which we live. May you be alive and well today. And truly, I would encourage everybody today to take that opportunity to have your Shabbat meal. I'm having an image in my mind right now when Patricia and I were down in Tyler, Texas, and our dear sister Sonia and her husband Miguel and their family provided a Shabbat Shalom meal at their home with the lighting of the candle, the reading of the word. It was absolutely wonderful. And what a moment to just slide into the rest of God. Does your mind need rest? Does your soul need rest? Does your body need rest? And I love when we just get quiet with the Lord. You know, sometimes we have an image of going into the closet, that that's a burdensome thing. It is not. The joy, the quietness, the peace, the rest, turning and tuning the world out and allowing God all the way in. I love that. There's something transformative about it. I believe you've learned that we are restored. I love on Saturday evenings at 5:30 when we here at Northwest Arkansas New Wine Ministry Church, when people have taken their Sabbath day and we all show up at 5:30 in the evening every Saturday, and you could tell that people have just been resting, and it's kind of like, hello, how are you? It's very calm, very relaxed, and God is always faithful to have praise and worship. And then we get into the word, and then we move into that new day, because when the sun sets on Saturday evening, the new day begins and Shabbat is ended. So I absolutely love what God is doing. Right now, I am thankful to be on the air with you. And by the way, if you have never been to one of our New Wine Ministry services here in Northwest Arkansas, I invite you to join us. If you're not in this area, you could always go online at YouTube at New Wine Ministry TV and on Facebook, just like you're doing right now. On Facebook under the Omega Radio Network, you find our Omega Radio page. And every Saturday at 5:30, Brother Kevin is out there and he's filming through the booth in the back and bringing our services. And they have been absolutely wonderful. during the last 3 or 4 months when this whole COVID-19 thing has been taking place, we have been witnessing a growth in people's lives. And we've seen people come and visit New Wine Ministries where the place has been pretty filled up, and we're so thankful to God for that. What matters to us more than anything is the quality and not the quantity. Folks, I've seen quantity, and I've seen within quantity the lack of quality, and it's really disturbing. And yet I've been where there's just plain old quality with very little quantity, and it's been more rich than you can imagine. And so make that true in your marriage. Make that true in your family. Make that true in your gathering together to worship the Lord. Do not forsake the gathering of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, especially as you see the day approaching, but even more so because the day is here. It is here, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to talk about it today. I know that right now on Capitol Hill, they're having a session where Dr. Fauci is there and all these other doctors, and they're going to have this big conversation. I love Steve Scalise and his opening address, showing that everything they try to do is just, you know, placing blame, shifting blame, political issues. And so we'll have opportunity to see more of that later. But first of all, today, I want to say good morning to my dear brother, Ian Root. Good morning back to you, sir. And I want to say good morning to Cindy. God bless you, Cindy. Trust you and Mark are going to have a great day today. I know you will. Kevin, good morning, everyone. God watch over us in this world that doesn't know or understand you. Provide us with your anointing to protect and restore us. We totally agree, Kevin. God bless you. River Christian Center, peace and grace to you and your family. Pastor Vincent from Jeff Bass of the River Christian Center in Manassas, Virginia. Hey, Chris, God bless you, sir. Pastor Jeff, how are you? When are we going to come to Virginia? Let's make contact. And Patricia and I would love and visit with you and your family and maybe impart some things, and maybe you can impart some things unto us as well. So I'm not sure where is it at here? In Manassas, Virginia. I've got some friends out there. Clarence Ellis, he's in the Virginia area. Brother Clarence, we need to talk when we're out there. You did an excellent job in connecting Pastor Kevin Honeycutt with us. Pastor Kevin was with me on the air yesterday and will be speaking as one of our guest speakers at this year's Feast of Tabernacles 2020 right here in Northwest Arkansas. Also, Pastor David and Victoria Obenauer from South Dakota will be coming here to speak at the Feast of Tabernacles 2020. The young man from Australia, Daniel Seckham, is also praying whether or not he's going to get the release to come in October to be one of our special guest speakers. But I want you pastors out there to know, if you're one of those burning ones with the passion of God and fire is in your bones and you're ready for this moment, we would love to have you come out to the Feast of Tabernacles and bring the word of the Lord. We'd love to meet you and connect with you. So, hey, we're all about Father's mindset in his feast. It's not about just an individual. It's about gathering the body of Christ together. And we certainly want to see the pastors who have stood up in this time come and bring the word of the Lord. And I'm so good with that because I personally believe that our rallying point is the cross. And I believe that a pastor that has a genuine heart for Jesus Christ and the cross, and we've come together in like-mindedness. You've been on your journey, pastors. You've been going through the fire. You've been tested to see if you'd be faithful in your ministry, and God has brought you through. And with that going through, you have seen the character, the DNA, the divine nature activated in your life. I believe God's going to breathe on you, and I get excited about that. Also, just so you know, that the theme that Father God by the Holy Spirit gave to us for this year is out of Joshua chapter 5, verse 8, roll away the reproach of my people. I believe, pastors, that our job in all the fivefold ministry, you have an apostolic anointing, you have a prophetic anointing, you're an evangelist, a teacher, a pastor. We want all the fivefold gift ministries. We're not ashamed to say that we believe there is an apostolic anointing in the earth today. There's a prophetic anointing in the earth today. There's a pastoral teaching and evangelistic anointing in the earth today, and it belongs to the ecclesia, the called out ones, because through those fivefold ministry gifts, the body of Christ is going to grow into maturity And if we understand our Father's heart plainly and clearly, and we submit to His purpose and plan, I believe we're going to see exponential growth in the life of believers. It has to be that way. If you're laboring in life without the fivefold ministry gifts, you're missing opportunity for exponential growth. I believe God's going to pour out His Spirit, and those seeds that have been planted by apostolic doctrine, prophetic anointing, and the rest, that anointing, that Holy Spirit, is going to be poured out like rain upon the land of your heart and my heart, the soil, and the seeds that have been planted that are good seeds, apostolic seeds. You know, the early church fed off the apostolic doctrine, it says in the book of Acts. So I do pray, while you're looking at congressmen and senators and presidents and judges, don't underestimate the value of God's government in the fivefold ministry, because that government can do something for your eternal reality. I know we get all impressed with men and their titles, and they sit in the high offices of the land, but they cannot do a thing for your intrinsic transformation, the inward transformation of your heart. God has called the pastor and the prophet and the evangelist and the apostle and the teacher to minister eternal things in the body of Christ. And that's a very serious ministry. If you haven't figured that out yet, saints, that's a very serious ministry. They are gift ministries to the church. To exclude any one of them from your life is a sad thing. Just to say, well, there aren't this, there aren't that. Yes, they all exist, because it's the same. Jesus is the apostle. He is the prophet. He is the teacher. He's the evangelist. He's the pastor. He's the good shepherd. You know that, and I know that. And His anointing flows down like Psalm 133, the anointing that dripped down the beard of Aaron and it went down to the skirts. The anointing of our high priest, Yeshua, His anointing comes down on the fivefold ministry, and it ministers to the body. And without it, it's just not good. So anyways, good Friday morning to everybody out there. Let me continue on here saying to Stephanie, I love this. Good morning, Sister Cindy, God bless you for bringing Omega Radio to me. Well, Stephanie, we're so glad that you're enjoying this Omega Radio network. Kathy Bruns, good morning, and God bless you all. Kathy, I trust you're feeling great, and that 30-day challenge thing that you're doing right now is a blessing to your physical body. God bless you, because I know if the physical body is not healthy, sometimes it bears heavy on the soul. So you need a lot of Holy Spirit influence, don't we? So we want more Holy Spirit to bring more cleansing to the soul, and ultimately to work out into our physical body so that we could be healed, spirit, soul, and body. That is the purpose of the cross and the work of Christ that He's done for each one of us. So Stephanie is giving us an LOL. Praise the Lord. And Denny, good morning to all saints from Denny and Sally. Y'all keep walking in Psalm 91, speaking it. Amen to that. You know, whether the coronavirus is a lie or whether it's the truth, our reality is in Psalm 91, one of the many promises of God. No plague shall come nigh our dwelling. And forgive me for having confidence in the word of God. You may call it something else. I believe it is a bold confidence for God's people to boldly proclaim and declare the promises of God. That thing will not come nigh our dwelling. And Sister Sally, your testimony last night about the dream and your bold confession, and then you found favor everywhere you went. People love that. I love that. I thought it was great. And so Cindy is saying hello to everybody out there as well. So let's get moving into our conversation today on this Friday morning. And I want to begin by reading Nahum. Yes, Nahum. I want to go to this man. And you remember the story of Jonah, right? Well, you remember the story, what happens after Jonah's prophecy. He warns them about 40 days. The king repents. And they wound up going on Nineveh because of their humility for another 100 and some odd years. But later on, they went right back to the same old condition. So God began to raise up prophets like Nahum. And so we begin in Nahum chapter 1. And I want you to hear this, because we're going to talk about the character of God today. We all know him as a God of love, a God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God of grace, a God of forgiveness and kindness. And he is absolutely all that. But listen how he revealed himself to the prophet Nahum. When a people had turned their backs and revolted and gone back to their wicked ways. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 1, the burden of Nineveh. The book of the vision of Nahum the Elkoshite. God is jealous. Listen to what he says in verse 2. And the Lord revengeth. The Lord revengeth and is furious. Come on. The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries, and he reserves wrath for his enemies. So we just saw in the scriptures that cannot be broken that the Lord is a jealous Lord. He's a jealous Jehovah. He's a jealous Yah. He's a jealous Adonai. He's a jealous Elohim, okay? He's jealous, and he's furious. He has within him fury. What does that word furious actually mean? It has two Hebrew words. The first one literally is Baal, and it means a husband and a captain, a chief man. But here's the important part of the definition is he is furious, meaning he is Kima. Kima. What does that mean, Kima? Kima or Kema actually means he is, it deals with heat, anger, poison, fever. It talks about displeasure. It talks about being indignation, rage. What part of God? That's a part of God I never want to know. How about you? I never want to know the wrath of God, the indignation of God, the fury of God. But it's important that we do understand that God is furious. God has indignation. God is angry. Okay, at the wicked, at what is evil. God hates evil. God does not tolerate it. God does not condone it, even in the new covenant. God has zero love for what is evil and wicked. Now, unfortunately, because of the sin of Adam, we have all been wicked. All human beings are evil apart from the cross. Can we admit that? I don't care how good you think you are or how good you think someone is. If they have not come to the cross and received the grace of God, they are wicked, they are evil, and they will be cast into eternal lake of fire, damnation, because they are good for nothing. Now, you may not like that, but that is a reality. That all mankind from the sin of Adam and Mrs. Adam is evil. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Have you admitted yet how filthy, rotten to the core you are? Have you ever visited your inner reality apart from the grace of God and have seen, like the Apostle Paul when he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am." Now, what does the word wretched mean? Rotten to the core. Do you know it's very healthy to understand and recognize how wicked your heart and my heart is apart from the work of Christ on the cross? Do you know it's a very healthy thing to come to a realization that we are sinners, that we have offended God, that we are evil and wicked and enemies of God in our minds, according to the book of Ephesians? So it's a very healthy thing. Job, after all of his trial, comes to the end of the book in Job 42, I believe it is, where he says, "I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now I see you and repent myself in dust and ashes." What was Job saying? He said, "I am vile. I have seen the Lord. I've seen his nature. I've seen his character. I thought I was a pretty good guy because he was covering me with his grace. But when I saw him and then he showed me, I realized how vile and a despised man I was, and I repent in dust and ashes." Wow. You know what? This is critical. And yet what we have in Christianity is coddling. We coddle the wickedness. We coddle the evil, the man or woman that thinks all their problems are based because of someone else. They have not yet seen their own vile wickedness. They were born in it. And if you grew up and you were abused and you were treated wrongly, I get that. But that does not exclude you from recognizing that before that ever happened to you, you were born wicked. You were born evil. You were born for destruction after your short stay upon the earth. All of us were. You may think that's unjust and unfair. Well, what was unjust and unfair is that our parents, Adam and Mrs. Adam, they created the environment by their rebellion when God warned them, dying you shall die. And that meant your offspring are going to die. They're going to be born into death. So, you know, you may have been feeling sorry for yourself for a long time about the abuses against your life. It doesn't matter. Apart from the cross of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how good or how good you've had it. Maybe you were born without abuse in a beautiful home. Apart from the cross, you're dead meat. That's the truth. And apart from the cross, you are a wicked, evil person. And you may not like that, but from God's perspective, that's the truth. And if you don't think you need to flee to the cross for refuge, you're deceived. If you want to grow up believing in Buddha and you want to get into philosophy and you want to, you know, meld with religion, that's your issue. But there's a personal encounter with Jesus Christ that if you have not had that personal encounter with Jesus Christ, the righteous one, and have come to him and admitted your own unrighteousness, you haven't even begun the journey of salvation or eternal life. I know it sounds a little bit intense this morning, but let's get it right. Thinking you're a good person. None are good. No, not one. For all the works of man are as filthy rags. That's a menstrual rag, dear friends. That's pretty unclean, pretty dirty. Pretty filthy. No offense intended to anybody. But that's what the prophet Isaiah said. Isn't it interesting that there's a storm called Isaiah out there in churning going towards Miami and the coast? We'll see what it does. I just thought it was interesting with the Isaiah 47:11 prophecy that Isaiah, they've named that storm. No big deal. Let's get back to what was important. When we come to the cross, whether you're black, red, yellow, brown, white, when we come back to the cross, when we come to the Christ of the cross, the wrath of God that was upon us. You see, Romans 5 says that condemnation passed on all mankind because of Adam's sin. Don't ever forget that. Study it this weekend if you'd like. Romans chapter 5. Condemnation, death, passed upon all of mankind. That condemnation is a sentence of eternal damnation. In other words, when you're born into this earth out of the lineage of Adam, which we all are, the condemnation, the sentence of death is upon every human being. And the wrath of God is upon the human vessel, the whole human race. The wrath of God is upon it. The only way to have that wrath removed. Well, God gave a covenant just to Noah. He gave a covenant to Abraham. He gave a covenant to Moses and Israel. There were covenants, but there was still condemnation in the heart. But God's ultimate purpose and plan was to send his son, the Messiah. And this Messiah received upon himself all the wrath against you and against me. Your life drew the wrath of God as mine did. But when I look at Jesus, when I look at Yeshua, when I look at the Lamb of God, the slaughtered from the foundation of the world, when I look at him and I realize that they took his beard and they ripped it out of his face, right? That's what we know. They pulled the hairs out of his face. We know that they punched him. We know that they spit on him. All of that was happening to him, but it was really what we deserved. We were to be treated that way. We were to be insulted. We were to be humiliated because of our sin. And all of that wrath that was visiting him, and that was just the beginning of it, you know the rest. Not only did they pull his hair out of his face and punch him and spit on him. And then they took a crown of thorns and they put these long spikes in them. And then they drove that into his head and it punctured all around his head. The blood began to drip down of his head, right? We know that happened. That's not making it up or exaggerating. That was happening to us. That's what should have been happening to us. But he was pierced, right? And so this anger, this wrath, then they mocked him. They scoffed him. They slapped him. They hit him with a rod. And then they marched him to the whipping post. Now, here is the Lamb of God. He's not resisting. He's not shouting. He's not crying out for vengeance. He's receiving the wrath of God for the sins of the whole world. He's paying the price. And there he is at the whipping post. And then one of the greatest examples I've ever known was Mel Gibson's movie called The Passion, where they took him to the post and they tied him up. It was probably most realistic. And they had these horrific whips. And they had razor blade type stuff on the whips and nails and sharp objects that when they struck his back and pulled, the skin of his flesh was ripped off of his body until 39 stripes that his bones were showing. Isaiah said he was unrecognizable. It wasn't just on his back. It was on the back of his legs. It came off of his shoulders. It ripped across his chest. He was slaughtered. Why? Why such anger? Why such furious rebuke? What such wrath was upon this man, the Messiah? But that was not the worst of it. After they took him to the whipping post and they took his body to be crucified, they now brought him before the people and they passed a sentence of death upon him. And the people cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And they took his half-dead body, but there he was still living. His eyes swollen. Everything was happening to Jesus, to Yeshua, not to Muhammad, not to Buddha, but to Yeshua. And it wasn't even because of his own sins. Everything that happened to him, these furious rebukes, this wrath that was on him was because of our sin. He was a sacrifice for Adam, for the creation of Adam, nobody else. And he was perfect. And he was God in the flesh. God could have given no other sacrifice, but it didn't stop there. You know the story, and so do I, that now they forced him upon a cross. They put the cross on his shoulders and made him march down the Via Della Rosa. And there he was carrying the cross, falling down oftentimes, being ridiculed and rebuked and mocked and heckled by the cheering crowds that were under the satanic reality. I had no idea what was going on. And the very people that were accusing him and throwing condemnation at him, he was dying for them too. Absolutely amazing. And there he is carrying the cross. Finally, he's out of strength. They bring the man called Simon from Cyrene to help him carry the cross. He makes it to the top of Golgotha. If you've ever been to Israel, there's a place of the skull. He makes it to the top. There are other sinners up there or criminals. And now they lay the cross on the ground. They lay him on the cross. They take this massive hammer and they begin to drive in the spikes into his wrists and through his legs. My God. This is Yeshua. This is wrath. But that's not the end of it. That's not the story. The real part of the story is when they lifted him up. And remember, Yeshua said, "If I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." All who are destined for eternal life, all who will believe, all who will come, I will bring them to me. So he's lifted up with the understanding that his life, death, would draw all men so that all men may be saved. That was God's will, desire, that all mankind would be saved. But now, there he is on the cross. He's there for a very long time. And he says, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I can't imagine more torment. See, I know a little bit about not knowing God's presence, not feeling God. I know what it's like to feel afraid. I know what it's like to feel strung out. I know what it's like to feel empty. I know what it feels like to feel dead inside and fearful and troubled and tormented. I've tasted it, but I can't imagine that Yeshua, for the first time in eternity, experiences the separation from his father because he was tasting death for every man. And he experienced what should have happened to us, eternally separated, and the torment of his soul, the idea of no more God. He's now being consumed by the wrath of God that was to be poured out upon the nations of the earth, all humanity. Man, that's powerful. That's the gospel. That's reality. And it didn't stop there. When Jesus offered up the ghost, they had been giving him vinegar, offering him stuff. If you're the Son of God, come down. The insults never stopped. Have you ever felt insulted? People make fun of you. He bore it all. And then when he gave up the ghost, they took a spear and they thrust it into his side. And blood and water came out of the side of Yeshua. He was pierced in 7 different places. It was a perfect sacrifice. Yeshua, Messiah, the king, humbled himself unto death and died for you and for me. And if we don't recognize how wicked and evil we are being born into this earth because of the bloodline sin of Adam, and we never come to the Christ of the cross to have that dealt with. You see, he took away that wrath, that condemnation that's on us when we're born into this world, that death sentence is there, that wrath that was going to visit us. When we've come to Christ, it's not because I'm feeling so sorry for myself. It's not because I want a pink Cadillac. I'm fleeing to him because I've seen my wickedness, my evil. I was born in it. I was born wicked. And if you don't believe it, it says it in Ephesians chapter 2. It's very clear. And throughout the rest of the scriptures, I was born a sinner. You may thought you were a little, oh, look how cute, coddly that little baby is. Oh, boop, 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 boop. That baby never goes to the cross. That thing's got wrath all over it. And we did. That baby right there is incubating with wickedness and evil. Oh, but he grew up to be a doctor and a lawyer. So what? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil all work the same result, death. Folks, there's no one good. When we come to the cross, when we come to Messiah, when we come to Yeshua, when we come to Jesus, the Christ, and we see the cross and we see his ministry of laying his life down for forgiveness for the human race, paying the sins of Adam's rebellion and all of that death sentence that came upon the Adamic race, when we see that he paid the price and we receive the message, I'm going to receive what Yeshua did for me. I'm going to receive what Christ did for me. It's pretty phenomenal when you step back and think that you and I, the lowest of the low upon this earth, no reputation, no real purpose, no real meaning. We're just breathing people, right? I mean, nothing great about us. And yet he condescended to the lowest estate of mankind to save every single human being on this earth. And the gospel preached is to draw men back to him. And if it doesn't begin with, you are a sinner, you are evil, you are wicked, you are destined for death and eternal separation from God. If it doesn't start there, then it's not the true gospel. Oh, Jesus loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and you need to go to him because he's gonna show you stuff because he loves you so much. You don't start there, folks. I'm sorry. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the cross, to the experience, to the passion. God gave his son. Wrath, condemnation, sentence of death, judgment. eternal punishment, lake of fire, consumed. God is furious. But he appeased his wrath on his son. All that fury, all that wrath was put on his son. And for those who receive his son, there is no further any wrath. There is no fury. Now we step in to the grace. Now we step into the mercy. Now we step into the compassion and the loving kindness and the love of God. We now have been quickened inside of us to realize, my God, I was going into eternal damnation, but I've been saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But I do admit that I was vile and I was despicable and I was wicked and I was evil, and no good thing that I ever did apart from Christ mattered. Mm-mm. I couldn't do a good thing to save myself. And yet how many people think, oh, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. Meanwhile, they're living like the world. They're deceived. They haven't seen. No, you're not a good person. You are as wicked and vile as every other human being on this earth. You have to look at the worst human being. You want to look at Charles Manson? Who else you want to look at? Adolf Hitler? Same wrath that's upon them is upon the good guy, the doctor. Oh, yes. That's the truth. So, God is furious. And for those that do not come to the cross properly, confessing their sin nature and all the sin, and understand how horrible sin is. I mean, if you're out there still toying with sin, you don't know the gospel. You've been tricked. If the gospel, if the impact of the cross has not penetrated and punched you right in the chest and took the wind out of you, then you don't know the truth. You're going to toy with sin after the price was paid? You will find that your human nature will act out in humanity. So what does God do? When you've come to the realization and you receive Christ, God gives you the Holy Spirit. Why does God do that? So you could feel goosebumps? So you could go, why does he give it to you? To give you the power to go and sin no more. Is there a working out? Absolutely. Not denying that. But to the person that's received the Holy Spirit and has come to the cross and confessed their sin, who's been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, who has been forgiven by the grace of God, who has experienced the kindness, the acceptance of God, sin becomes a nightmare to them. Sin becomes something they never want to touch. It's real. I'm telling you the truth. The fear of the Lord. No wonder why the scripture says that they, if once they've in Hebrews chapter 6, once they've been born again and have received the Holy Spirit and tasted the good word of God, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them to repentance, seeing they crucify the Son of Man openly and put him to shame. You see, it would have been better to never have known the truth or the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn back, 2 Peter. To abuse, to insult the grace of God, it can't get more offensive than that. And you know why people do it? Because they've never really come to the conclusion, to the reality. You are wicked. You are evil in and of yourself. I used to say, well, God knows my heart. And somebody would say, he sure does. And it's deceitful above all things and wicked. And who could ever know it? Folks, you got to get there. And if you've not been there before, I would come into agreement and ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, bring this individual, bring people to a recognition of their vile ways. Stop blaming everybody else. Sure, you were molested and raped and abused and beaten and ridiculed. So what? That's the whole human experience. You were still evil. You say, well, no, they were evil. Look what they did to me. You were still evil. It was just evil beating up evil. You were no better than them. Oh, I know, that's a mind blower, isn't it? Because you've been nursing your pain for so long You think you have a right. You have no right if you want to know the truth. You have no right to nurse anything. The only thing you and I need to do is get to the place where I'm guilty. You're guilty. I'm guilty. Sure, what they did was evil and they're guilty. That doesn't take away that our reality is guilt before a holy God. You see, it's pretty potent, in my opinion. Let's take a little look at what's going on in our chat room right now. I'd like to see what's being said here. all right. So, Kevin Hauger, Mel Gibson did a pretty good job of showing the whipping. Yeah, he did. Jesus took from the Roman soldiers. Stephanie, oh my Lord, precious Lamb of God, thank you for giving your life for me. Amen, Stephanie. That's the right response. Thank you, Lord Jesus, Cindy said, what you did for us. Right response. Michael John, hey, Kevin, heads up, had problem with the stage microphone. Okay, that's another issue going on there. Carol, Carrie, Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Yikes. Great scripture. Thank you for sharing that. Cindy, if we are not serving our Lord Jesus, then we are serving the enemy. I love it. Black and white. No problem there. All right. So there's more to this story today. There's more to it. It's Friday. Hey, let's open the telephone lines up today. You want to talk? Let's talk. You know, I love verse 3. I want to go back to Nahum for just a moment. You can call in at any time, 818-369-0326. How important is it just to remember? I want to ask you a question. Were you offended in the last 40 minutes about anything you just heard? Were you offended? Did you think otherwise? Was it okay for God to point his finger right at our hearts and minds and to tell us the truth? Was that okay for you? (sighs) 818-369-0326 is the number to call if you want to call in and speak. It's awfully quiet out there today. It's awfully quiet out there. But that's okay. In Nahum chapter 1, verse 3, this is right after verse 2 where it says, God is jealous, the Lord revenges, and is furious, right? The Lord will take vengeance on his adversaries. He reserves wrath for his enemies. You see, everybody that has fled to the cross and received the mercy and the grace, you'll never know the wrath of God. You will never know his wrath. You may know the wrath of man. You may know the wrath of the dragon. But you will never know the wrath of God. But God reserves his wrath still for those who reject the Messiah. That's why Revelation 16 says that God will pour out the seven vials of his wrath upon the unrepentant nations. God still has wrath and fury to pour out upon those that would provoke him and test him. And he's going to do it. His word, not mine. He's going to do it. The day of salvation is drawing to an end. The door to the ark is shutting. The souls of men will be damned, like in the days of Noah, who have rejected the good news and refused to acknowledge their filthy, evil, wicked ways. They're going to have tasted a vapor and they're going to experience an eternity in something I don't even want to imagine. Thank you, Jesus. Can we say that together? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Search my heart. Convict me of my sin. If there's anything wiggling around in there that's not right, Lord, would you please expose it? And then by the power of your Spirit, let's yank that sucker out. Let's yank it right out. Tell every demon in hell, get the heck out of here. You're not going to take my life away from God. You're not going to draw me away from my Father. You're not going to twist his grace and pervert it in my life. I will be rigidly righteous. I will not play your game. You could call me anything you want. You could say you're holier than thou, self-righteous. You could call me anything you want. But I know that at the end of this race, we're going to win, and I'm going to be called holy. That's what the word says. True saint. So, Carol's asking a question. Pastor, when the seven vials of wrath are poured out, does that mean the door to salvation is closed upon them? Absolutely. Yes. As a matter of fact, if you're paying attention right now, I know people are talking about a massive harvest, right? The greatest harvest that I found in Scripture, there's two of them actually. One of them plays immediately after the tribulation period. Immediately after the tribulation period. You know, when I read, I don't see this massive harvest. What I do see to the faithful elite and elect of God that have opened the good soil of their hearts to the word of God, and they've been properly taught, and the good doctrine has been put in their good soil, that God will send rain upon that land, and it will produce a character and a likeness of Christ. That is a harvest. But the harvest, the biggest harvest I see, is immediately after the tribulation, where Yeshua comes in the clouds. He sends his angels. They gather together. That's a harvest. Gathering together is a harvest. Prior to that, I see all hell breaking loose. I see the love of many waxing cold. I see people being offended and fearing and falling away. I don't see a harvest during the tribulation. I'm not seeing much of a harvest right now. Our Nigerian brothers and sisters who are being murdered on a scale unprecedented, likened unto the Christians in Syria, their lives are being martyred for their faith. But a harvest of worldly people coming into the kingdom, I don't see it. I don't see it. I see people falling away everywhere. Like Pastor Kevin Honeycutt said yesterday, I see love waxing cold during the tribulation, and we're leading up to it, and the beginning of sorrows has begun. I don't think there's too many worldly people that are going to see a travailing church and say, oh, I want that. Mm-mm. I think they're going to run. They're going to entertain the beast. Their minds are being taken over. They're going to worship the dragon. Revelation tells us that. So, Stephanie's saying, thank you, Jesus. Search me, O God, and renew right spirit within me. If you see any problems in my soul, remove them and keep me in the center of your will. You know what I love? Can I tell you a secret? Anybody want to know a secret? You know, I'm noticing that this conversation, we have 14 people. Normally, we're way up there and people watching. Half the people left the conversation because of this conversation. Isn't that amazing? Half the people that are in the chat area, who knows how many others have left. They don't want this conversation. You see, this message just split the listening audience in half. Isn't that amazing? Here's a secret. If you really want to know true salvation, you have to be willing to tell on yourself. You have to tell on yourself. I know so many people that say, oh, I'm talking to Jesus, my high priest. And that's good. Praise God. That's the ultimate reality. But you know, Jesus said, confess your faults one to another. Jesus, when he was coming into the earth and John the Baptist was baptizing people, it says they all came out to John in the Jordan confessing their sins. When is the last time you confessed what's going on in your heart publicly? I'm not saying go to a priest and a confessional. I was a good Catholic. I used to go to confession booths all the time just to get out of the house in New Jersey, right? In our Italian family, it was the right thing to do. Go down to St. Paul of the Cross in Jersey City and confess. Just get out of the house. Tell them whatever. But listen, one of the great secrets, I'm going to tell you how God elevated this piece of dirt. I'm going to tell you how he did it. You want to hear a story? I wasn't planning on doing this, but here's the story. I won't even begin to tell you how messed up my life was until I came to a ministry that was strong in the power of deliverance. And my life was a mess, but I stepped into an environment where Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus Christ, were present. I had a pastor given to me in my life. He labored in my life. And there was deliverance that was going on with the pastors, bringing me through, working things out. And a time came in my journey where I asked my pastor, because I was struggling. I had so much gunk going on in my heart, man, and in my mind. I had so much. It was such a mess. I said, Pastor, I would like to confess my sins at the church this weekend, if that's okay. I just feel like I want to confess. He said, sure, go ahead. I showed up that Sunday morning, and pastor came, put his hand on my shoulder, and he says, be free. And then the service began, and then he called me up, and he said, Vincent would like to talk to everybody. I stood for 45 minutes before an entire church and confessed everything. I told them everything going on in my head, everything going on in my heart, the struggles I was having. I went back to my birth. I went back to my generational bloodline background. I did it. When I was done, pastor probably didn't know that he opened the door to that. For about 6 months, people in the church really didn't look at me quite the same. Kind of standoffish. They couldn't believe that I went so deep in confessing. But I didn't do it for them. I did it because I knew if the enemy remained secret inside of me, he was setting me up, and I didn't want to fall. So I just told on myself. Pastor wound up passing away. The only pastor I've ever had in my life. 10 months later, I was mantled to take the pastoral in that church. God has so changed my life because of confession. And I have maintained that in my life. I tell on myself all the time, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. I am not into hiding sin, because I know if it's in here, and the enemy is very clever, he could actually bring forth some stuff and do things. I haven't given him that opportunity in 28 years of full-time ministry. I have confessed. It has not always been pleasant, but my confession of what's going on before I actually do anything. That's the difference. I confess to a church, the body, my brothers, my sisters, my wife. I confess what's going on inside of here, so that it could never become a reality. Men struggling with sexual issues in your life, if you don't talk to somebody, it's going to become a reality. You're coming desperate for finances, something's churning, you're going to wind up stealing something. You're entertaining ideas about being sick, it's going to manifest. You're terrified, but you're afraid because you're trying to protect your outer veneer. It's going to manifest. Fear. You're offended in your heart towards somebody, but you never talk about it. It's going to manifest. It's there. So confession. Now, there was a concert. I'm going to tell this for my friend Ray. Ray, you're going to know what I'm talking about if you're listening right now, or will be listening later. Ray, you shared a musician with me the other night. His name, you know. Well, before I became a pastor, I had already done the confession thing, and everybody else was having a struggle, but I was the freest man on the planet. Man, I was so glad I just unloosed my burden. But before I became the pastor, during those months, those 10 months, there was a concert in San Diego, California, with this highly recognized and known musician. If I said his name, most of you would know it. It was a Friday night. I went with my brother, a few sisters. We got together. We drove down to the concert hall. in El Cajon, I think it was, and about 800 people piled in, and we were out there in the chairs, and the man was down there, and he was playing his instrument, and his band was with him, and we were just having a good time. And then the man said something, and he said something to this idea. He said something like, well, you know, we're not all to be a bunch of fruit inspectors, and nobody's perfect, and, you know, one friend later on described it as a big flesh orgy he was presenting. But I don't know what happened to me, but prior to getting to that place that night, I was reading the Bible in the book of Acts where God told the Apostle Paul, do not be afraid to speak, for I have many people in this city. No harm will come to you. I don't know why I was reading it. I just was reading it. I wasn't thinking about it. All I know is that there were 800 people, most of them brand new young Christians, that were being told nobody's perfect. We're all going to sin. Don't be a fruit inspector. Don't be pointing it. And he's just criticizing anybody that would want to bring up to the standard of Christ. So that was going on. And I started shaking. I didn't know what was going on. I looked to my left. I looked to my right. Everybody was watching. And I was shaking. All of a sudden, I stood up. And all of a sudden, I opened my mouth. And I began to say in very peaceful tones, excuse me. But that is not the gospel. And the whole crowd went silent. And I'm standing there shaking. And all of a sudden, the musician starts talking to me. And the first thing he began to say was, sit down, be quiet, sit down, be quiet. I didn't budge. And I continued to say, what you're telling these people is not the truth. And we were going back and forth. And then he began to dialogue with me. Well, what do you mean? So I'm having a conversation with this musical artist, telling him that his message is not going to help these people. Meanwhile, the guards were coming around me, but they never touched me, and I kept speaking. When it was all said and done, I looked to my left and my right. My friends really didn't want to look at me at all. It was pretty bizarre, so I just got up and I walked out, and I went to the bathroom. I got in the car, and it was a very lonely conversation going all the way home. There wasn't much of anything. I was going to church that weekend, and I was confident they were going to throw me out of the church because they told the pastor what I did. But instead of getting thrown out, I was applauded by the congregation when they heard the whole story. They applauded, and I was promoted to be a deacon in the church, which lasted a very short time. And it was right after that that God promoted me to be the pastor of the church, which I've been a pastor of now for 28 years. That happened because of the confession. Something was out of the way. And I think a lot of people don't speak up and speak out because they got their own issues. They don't want to be a hypocrite. I understand. I had no idea we were going to be talking about this today. But praise God. Amen. So let me go see if anybody is over here in Blog Talk. I do really have a message, but there's a lot of people calling in right now. So praise God. Let's go see what's happening. This looks like Elder George from Wisconsin is calling in. Elder George, is that you today, sir?
Yes, sir. Yes, it is, Pastor.
How
Hallelujah.
Are you?
I'm doing good. Nice and quiet and peaceful here. But yeah, I want to say that I was one of these people, one of these young fellows that was involved in church and youth and all of the things and went through. And I got to the point where everything was, well, I felt everything was fine with me. But then that was because of my ignorance and because I did not hear the word, but when I came under your ministry, under Pastor Patricia's, it was so many things that were in my life as a young person and older that I had to start a confession. Time I had a confession, I got myself, or set myself free in my relationship with Jesus Christ. Became so solid, but I had to make these confessions.
Amen.
Before, and that was just a road, and in an older age is when I had to make a lot of these confessions of these little things that were back there when I was a youth and things like that. But I just praise the Lord that I was made aware under a deliverance ministry and the Word of God, and that I know that the Lord is furious and He can get the revenge. And I just praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so thankful, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit that are operating in my life this day. And I just thank Him. Oh, praise Him. And 88 years. Hallelujah.
Wow, George, 88 years. And, you know, isn't it interesting? I know you feel this same exact way with all the confessing and all the success that God has had in our lives. Remember, we're His workmanship. He's doing a work in us. We don't feel like we've arrived anywhere. We don't feel that we're done. We feel like we're just getting started. We feel like, okay, this has been a lot of work for a long time, but, you know, nobody's making any claims that, look, we've arrived. It's this working out of our salvation is such an amazing thing, and we just need to keep it real. And I admire you, 88 years, and you're still confessing things in your heart that disturb you. I absolutely love that and admire that. And no matter what people think, I know that Father God is well pleased. God bless you, Elder George. You're a true elder in every respect, and we admire and respect your walk with God, and we thank you for sharing your testimony. God bless you, sir.
Well, I'm going to say the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Oh, Father that created the heavens and the galaxies and Adam and Eve taking that rib, and Jesus Christ. Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Born. Hallelujah. And then that Holy Spirit. But that is, it is so. And it's only, I had a lot of ignorance and a lot of, but through the teachings and the anointing and the awareness of all the things that have been downloaded through your ministry and Patricia's ministry, I just thank you, and I give you the thanks and the praise in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for those kind words. Elder George, 88 years young. He's going to be alive and remaining when the Lord returns, I'm pretty sure. Let's take our next call. Coming in from 479-321. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Pastor, this is Phil.
Hello, Phil.
Hey, Mary and I were talking this morning, and well, first of all, I should say I'm a young and I'm only 78. But Mary and I were talking this morning about the difference between fascination and imagination. God gave us imagination for good. You know, for example, I like to think of walking on the sea of glass, holding Jesus' hand. Mary holding my other hand. And on the other side, I've not been there. This is just imagination. I like to imagine a 16-year-old girl when I was in high school that died that was a Christian. So these are things I like to imagine. The fascination is like this. It's like the people that believe in Bigfoot. They're fascinated by it, so the devil will show them pictures of Bigfoot. You know, actually think they actually saw them. in the woods. I mean, it reminded me of a time when I was deer hunting, and I was sure I saw a deer tail end of it behind a tree. And I angled around, had my rifle ready, and it turned out to be a bunch of grass. So imagination can go the wrong way and become fascination. That's all I was just thinking about this morning. I don't know how much it ties in with what you're talking about, but I really appreciate that.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, that is so clear. You know, and the imagination in the days of Noah was continually wicked all the time, and that's why God sent the flood on the earth. To have an imagination sanctified and to see yourself walking on the sea of glass with Jesus and your wife next to you is the most beautiful thing. Or that 16-year-old young lady that died in faith, seeing her resurrected in liberty. I mean, that is absolutely beautiful. And that is a sanctified imagination cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. That's beautiful. And you're activating that imagination. Fascination with all the other stuff that create divisions in the body of Christ, I totally agree with you. They don't matter. They're nonsensical. They have nothing to do with getting the inward parts clean. I totally 1,000%. Phil, thank you so much for your call and for sharing with us those thoughts today.
Good day.
God bless you. Yeah, you too, sir. I love that. You see, those are good conversations. Waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. If you're listening or you're on the chat room, you could hang up, call 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll bring you right into the broadcast. I want to say good morning to David Ellison's joining us. Carol Carey's out there. Deliverances for today. I totally agree. I like what Diane Tumineri, one of the great intercessors in our generation, is saying. We must come before the throne of grace daily. Thanks for your faithfulness to our Lord. God bless you, Diane Tumineri. What a dear friend. All right, waiting for the words of wisdom in the body of Christ, unless you want to move on. If you want to move on. yeah, I love hearing the conversation with callers too, Stephanie. So why don't some of you convert? Station. Let's converse. I'm all into it right now. 818-369-0326. Last night, around 1 o'clock in the morning, I was awakened. And I thought, rather than just being awake, I think I'll turn the light on. I have this, my brother Bill out there gave me an incredible gift a couple of years ago. It's this nightlight thing on a book tray. And you could put it on and it doesn't wake up Patricia. So I turned it on last night, opened my Bible. I started reading in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and 3. And then I went to the seven churches in the book of Revelation and started reading them very carefully what the message was. And this is just a good time to keep yourself. You know, you want your imagination cleansed and sanctified. Sanctify it with the word of God. Think about John the Apostle on the island of Patmos, and think about the revelation, the understanding. You know what I think will actually happen when the conscience is clear and the sanctification of the imagination is complete? We're probably going to have some open heaven experiences. Honestly, I really believe the more cleaned up we get, the more opportunity we have to do some traveling in the spirit world. I believe that. How many of you are so tired of the flesh realm, the soulical realm, and are wanting to operate and live in the spirit, the activity of the spirit? Man, we need that to happen so much right now. Hector, good morning, Brother Vincent in the body of Christ. Good morning to you, Hector. I know you had a safe journey back home to California. Trust you're doing well. That's awesome. Praise the Lord. Hey, guys, you're out there. You're listening on Blog Talk Radio. Why are you not calling in today? Was today's message a little bit different? We'd love to hear from you. Come on. 818-369-0326. And good morning, Misty. Belongs to Jesus. Amen. Misty from Alaska. God bless you. How's Alaska today, Misty? Is everybody doing okay out there? You getting ready for a great weekend? I don't want to just spend time. I think I'm going to let it go right now. We've got a busy day ahead of us. And we just want to bless everybody that is moving. Let me give a little bit of information. If you haven't yet, have you gone to our website? Let me put this out there. Our website for the Feast of Tabernacles, okay, for the Feast of Tabernacles, is on the screen right now. It's www.nwmglobal.org. Okay. I've already posted Feast of Tabernacles. There's a registration page. I have confirmed already that Pastor David and Victoria Obenauer and Pastor David Honeycutt and possibly his wife, family, and friends will be coming. They will be our guest speakers, along with perhaps Daniel Seckham, myself, and a few other folks that will be joining us as well for the Feast of Tabernacles. What I'm going to do is there, if there is on nwmglobal.org, the church here, New Wine Ministry Church, we're going to host it. In other words, we're going to prepare. I've put out a message yesterday and I got beautiful response. We are the host church, New Wine Ministries. We are sending invitation as far as California, all over the world. We're just sending the invitations out. There will be a Feast of Tabernacles celebrated somewhere in this world, all over the world, from Jerusalem to Northwest Arkansas. We're going to host it. That means we are going to be hosting the speakers, which means we're going to be making sure that their needs are met. We're going to be taking up offerings for our guest speakers. We have to fly someone like Daniel Seckham all the way into town. We have tents that we have to get. We have food that we're going to buy because we do a lunch every single day, except for the weekends. So all week long, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're going to be having barbecues. We're going to be having the tents. We're going to be getting the food. And we're going to be hosting those menus, but we're going to need to raise funds for the Feast of Tabernacles. And so this is going to be taking care of our guest speakers, taking care, making sure people will be opening up their homes. There will be people that are bringing their trailers. We've had people stay in tents. People will be going to their hotels that they will be responsible for. But the hosting for the Feast of Tabernacles, which we've done for 30 years, this is year number 31, and it normally runs between $12,000 and $16,000 to make sure that all the needs are met. Together, we can do that. We saw that when we had a need for an RV, that God met that need. We need to raise funds. And so, if you would go to nwmglobal.org and you want to start sowing in to the Feast of Tabernacles, getting the tents, getting the chairs, getting the tables, getting the food, flying people in, making sure needs are met, getting the pamphlets out, the literature out. There's a lot that goes into it. You can imagine. If you would like to partner with us for the Feast of Tabernacles and take some of that burden on of financial needs, there it is, nwmglobal.org. And you could go to the donations tab once you're there. And you can give a donation online and just earmark it for the Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm going to ask Daryl to put the Feast of Tabernacles right now. It would go to the general fund. So if you put a gift from the internet to the general fund, that will go particularly to the Feast of Tabernacles. I want to say to someone named Mark out there and Sister Evelyn, I want to say thank you for your recent donations that you have given in the last week. It takes time to it all to get showing up and all of that. But thank you for your giving. I also want our listening audience out there to know that we laid down after 7 years our AM FM radio that we were doing. I just believe God said to put it down. We did. We are no longer doing AM FM radio for Kerm Radio. It was a 7-year journey that was awesome. And so Patricia and I are kind of right here in this launching time. We appreciate the people that are tuning into this ministry because here is our focus: YouTube, Facebook, Omega Radio, and Blog Talk Radio. And if you would be a partner with us in this ministry to offset the cost here, that would be awesome. You could actually go online to nwmglobal.org and become a regular giver to the ministry, and your gifts and finances will go towards all that we're doing here. This is where we're at. So nwmglobal.org, Feast of Tabernacles, 2 months away. Today is the last day of July. Imagine that. We have August and September, and then October 2nd is the Feast of Tabernacles. You, wherever you are, Lord willing, will be making your plans and arrangements to leave your city, your town, your state, your country, to make your way into Northwest Arkansas and to be a part and to allow us to bring a blessing to you. We're looking for those men and women of God who have a passion in their heart that will bring the word of the Lord. I believe the theme is about rolling away the reproach of God's people. And I think that is a very important thing right now. And so there it is, nwmglobal.org. You could go to the donations tab, but also under nwmglobal.org, you could find the Feast of Tabernacles tab, and you could click on that and you'll see Feast of Tabernacles 2020, and you'll see a registration tab. What the registration helps us to do is, and we don't charge, we've never charged. People said you should charge. People treat it more seriously. We never have. We don't charge anybody to come to the feast. We take up offerings. There's no doubt, because the Feast of Tabernacles is all about taking up offerings. It's one of God's way of handling his economy, and we'll talk about that, but there's no charges. We never charge. So this is a way, if you go to the registration tab, to let us know how many people are coming. So it helps us to prepare. How many pamphlets do we need? How many booklets do we need? How much meat do we need? How much food do we need? We have several barbecues. How many chairs do we need for the tents and the tables? How much do we need to be doing? I hope to have a book that I've had put together by my friends available. Patricia has her book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. You could actually, for 99 cents, go to nwmglobal.org, go to the online store, you'll find, and just click on Patricia's book. You could download it for 99 cents. That's pretty amazing. If you buy the book, it's $12.99 in paperback copy. So, and Patricia has given 90% of her books away. The other 10% that have been sold just have been a blessing to her for the money she put into getting her book. But it's a good book. It's a personal warrior's manual on how to get ready to stand in the last days through deliverance and sanctification of the soul, including that imagination. So again, you could get the online book. You can go and register for the Feast of Tabernacles. Let us know how many people will be coming in your group. You could begin to give financially to the Feast of Tabernacles. I'm going to ask if we start doing a fundraiser on Facebook, a fundraiser on YouTube. I don't know how that works. There are people that do. And we'll put that money into a pot, and it will be distributed to the workers and those that are going to be hosting to get the things done so that we're not burdened. And by the way, we do a lot of decoration and preparation up on the Ark. That's where it's going to be. It's going to be on the Ark. And we do a lot to make sure that place looks like the beautiful place it was intended to be. Aesthetically beautiful, very functioning. We are finishing up some projects. We've been under construction for a while. We're getting some things done. Again, we're ready to go. And we are also, the RV that was given to us to go out and start churches, there are a few minor things going on. We're going to be putting that into the shop. We're going to be getting that done. So we're ready to roll. So we're doing a lot, and we're going to be here every day. We'll be back on the air on Tuesday, Lord willing, tonight again when the sun sets, Shabbat Shalom. And then for us, we have a meeting Saturday at 5:30. You could watch that. You could join us if you're not doing anything else. And you could just be a part of our service on Saturday night by going to Omega Radio, like you're doing right now if you are. Or you could go to YouTube and you could find our online service live. And then you could do that Sunday at 2 p.m. This will be the first Sunday in 2 years that I have not gotten up early in the morning and gone to AM/FM radio. Hallelujah. It's going to be good to sleep in. But we'll be meeting at 2 o'clock Sunday. And if you're out there and you want to join our service, you can do that as well. And then Monday is our down day. We're going to see which is whatever God has. And then we'll see you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next week. I'm sure there's going to be a lot to talk about by the time we get together next week. Having said that, I've got 13 comments on here. What are you guys saying out here? Let's go back and see. Let's get some questions here. Vincent, did you listen to Pastor Greg Locke? Yes. Awesome guy. He's doing and he's speaking what all of us are doing and speaking. He did it in a magnificent way. Good man. Pastor Kevin Honeycutt knows him, by the way. Who knows? Maybe he'll be joining us for the feast. Only God knows. Let's see. Misty says she needs fellow servants up here. It's lonely in Alaska. Misty, I think there's a road to Alaska. We have an RV. You gather a few people together that want to start some work, we'll go up there. We'll pray. We'll go all the way to Alaska. I hear it's beautiful. All right. Let's see. Misty is saying, this reminds me, Pastor, did you get the video I sent, which backs up Pastor Dana's prophecy? Misty, would you send that to me again, please? I don't recall immediately. Carol is asking, will the Feast of Tabernacles be celebrated for a week? Yes, we're going to be celebrating it from Friday evening when the sun sets on October 2nd. We will be gathering together, and that's normally where all the worshipers come together, and we have this incredible sober feast in the beginning, introducing, welcoming everybody. And then we will have a Saturday evening. We will not be on the ark Saturday evening, Saturday or Sunday. We will be gathering in the evening on Saturday and Sunday. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, the following week, every day on Monday through Friday, people will come up to the ark for breakfast in the morning. And then there will be praise and worship. And then there will be a guest speaker under the tent with praise and worship. And then after that, there will be a lunch served and people will get together and do whatever they love to do. It is a celebration. People will break. Maybe some will go fishing. Maybe some will go hiking, biking, whatever they do. And then we'll gather together that evening back in Bella Vista at the gathering place, most likely. Who knows? This year, anything could happen. We could be doing this whole thing at the Ark. The whole feast may be at the Ark, morning, noon, and night. But yes, it is a 8-day celebration all day, and that's the answer to that question. Misty said, Pastor, yes. Cindy, Stephanie Piazza, can you come here in October? And that's a good invitation. I don't see that she's answered yet. Who knows? Everybody. Even all the friends should come. Everybody should come. So wish I was there to help. Well, there's a road. There's an airplane. I don't know, Missy. I'm just messing with you there. Michael John. Hi, Carol. It's October 2nd to October 9th. Every day we are fellowshipping. That's right, Pastor Mike. You got that right. Sean, the sword you mentioned a week ago may very well be Russians with their hypersonic weapon. Sean, I believe that. I was going to talk about it today. I went another direction. Stephanie is saying, Cindy, I have no idea. God only knows. I have so much responsibility here. Well, remember, the Feast of Tabernacles is when everybody lays down their responsibilities and they come up to honor the Lord for the feast when we have a real good take on it. So just keep that in mind. All right. We're all praying about it. And that's our comments over there. I don't see anybody else on the telephone lines. We're about 10 or 7 minutes out. I've given ample opportunity. And Sean, probably by Tuesday, the sword that you were talking about, that we were talking about, will be a pretty incredible topic. We'll see how the weekend goes. And that's it for us today, ladies and gentlemen. No, wait a second. I think my friend Art, all the way from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, is calling into the broadcast. Good morning, Art. Is that you?
That is.
I knew that was you. You, Miss You, we've got 5 minutes. What do you want to say to everybody?
Well, I just got to tune in on the last few minutes, so I missed most of your program, but basically called just to pray for the upcoming Feast of Tabernacles.
Awesome. Awesome. Would you do it right now for all of us, please?
Certainly. Lord, as we come before you, as you've given me unction, Lord, to call in and pray for these people, we pray for the Feast of Tabernacles to be a very anointed time with you and with the people. We pray for safety for everybody in their travels.
Yes.
You'll make ways, means, and opportunity for people who normally wouldn't have even considered it. But we pray for safety. We want to reverse all the curses that come against your people, Lord. This coronavirus, we want to reverse that back to the senders and the multiplied reviling force, Lord, that they'll pull them hands back off of your people and that they'll be disclosed and the shame will fall back on them, Lord, that your people be free from all of this bondage and affliction. the fear, the doubt, the unbelief that sneaks in, cause harm, hinder everybody from their walks with you, Lord. So we're just going to speak peace, comfort, love, joy upon your people. We ask you to give them wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment on everything they do. Make sure they always test the spirit and things. Have you confirm everything you speak to these people, Lord, so they're not running off on a tangent on something they thought. God, come to mind, they thought it was you speaking to them, Lord. So just cover them on these types of deceptions. We want to rebuke all the religious hindering spirits out there. And again, just giving this, speak peace over everybody. Because there's going to be more trials, so we ask for that peace, comfort, love, joy that can only come from you, Lord. So that's going to be my prayer, my petition, Lord.
Amen.
You can lay it on the altar at your feet, trust it in your hands. Give you all the praise, honor, and the glory. And Lord, before we tune, we're going to thank you for providing the RV we prayed about. So we're going to thank you for that. We're going to thank you for all the blessings you've given your people, Lord, that bears witness to other people without shame or anything, that we can gloriously stand before you, Lord. So again, that's prayer, petition, Lord. Again, we lay it on the altar at your feet. We trust it in your hands, giving you all the praise, honor, and glory, Lord. We love and praise you. Thank you. And we do it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Art, thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. As we're just kind of winding down, that was an incredible prayer for all of you to be at peace, all of us. Art is an intercessor from Coeur d'Alene. I want to say hello also to Nikita Ayu. She said she is from I Am in Indonesia. I believe that. Nikita, I believe that's you. Welcome to the broadcast. We're so glad that you found us all the way from Indonesia. What an amazing place. God bless you. Misty saying that she posted some stuff in the New Wine Ministry in Facebook. So there's something there. And also Carol Carey says, Dr. Stella spoke the truth and she is under attack for speaking out and also about the evil spirits that are possessing people. God protect her and keep her safe. She also said, that's the lady, the Nigerian woman, I believe, from Houston. But she also had mentioned that, you know, President Trump is under attack for sharing Dr. Stella Emanuel's video. He's under attack for everything, for breathing. But you're absolutely right. All right, folks, that's it for us today. Art, once again, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for praying the prayer. Have a shalom on all of you. Shalom. And if we get a chance to see you for the Feast of Tabernacles, that's going to be awesome. Pray. Ask God. He'll make a way. He will make a way. God bless everybody. Right now, there is a deliverance roundtable discussion on Radio. That's omegaradio.org, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I just uploaded a bunch of new content, so I'll have that up after the deliverance program, 24/7. There'll be some really good stuff from Jay Sekulow, from Glenn Beck, from True News. There's a bunch of good stuff out there that we've been permitted to put on the Omega Radio Network. You're not going to want to miss it. There are lots of programs like these. Stay tuned. Have a great weekend. Be blessed, be nourished, be encouraged, and remember, the cross of Jesus Christ has taken all of it. Let him take everything that's a hindrance or a trouble in your life. And thank him always for what he did. We love you, Father. We love you, Jesus. And we love you, Holy Spirit, and all the angels of heaven and the body of Christ. Be quickened, be strong, be healthy, and God bless you. We'll talk to you again next week. This is Pastor Vince. Shalom, everybody. Until we meet again.